Today, we are going to talk about choices. Ever had to make choices before? Stupid question. You are making choices every single day. And if you haven't noticed already, making choices is hard work. And so we are going to do a series for the next few weeks on talking about choices. How do you make godly choices? How do you make good choices? How do you make less bad choices? How do you make correct choices and good decisions that have a positive impact on your life and the lives of the people around you? And so today we're going to start off with a bit of an introduction, but a subtitle or a thought for today is this: Help, I Can't Decide. I mean, it just comes down to sometimes you're in a restaurant, sometimes you're trying to buy something, sometimes you're trying to pick something, and you say, help, I can't decide. There are too many choices, or I don't feel I know enough information to make a good choice. And so you say to yourself, help, I can't decide. And we want to look at this today. We want to look at it over this next few weeks and get real with ourselves. Come on, we are facing choices like you can't believe on a daily basis. And in some ways, it feels like they're only getting more and more and more. And how on earth do you navigate these choices? When there's so much input, when there's so many opportunities, when there's so many options, you say to yourself, I don't know where to turn. I don't know who to turn to. But the good news is that the Bible is full of great wisdom. And God is great in this aspect. And He wants to be active in our lives so that we can make good and wise choices. But it is hard to make choices. And I was thinking about it this week. I thought to myself, wow, a friend of mine was texting saying, any recommendations for a new phone? I was thinking, another friend was saying the other week before, any recommendations for a TV? We were thinking about a bike because one of the girls needs a new bike. And you think about all these different things. And it is hard work to make good choices. And then you do this thing. Maybe you do it like I do. You say to yourself, well, I'm going to start with some research. Going to check the reviews, going to check the blogs, going to ask around, ask other people's opinions. And you get lots and lots of different information. But what you start to do is you start to form a picture, or at least I try to, of just a few of the key things that I need to look out for, which is going to take it from lots of choice down to a few choices. Because that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're trying to get from more to less so that we can make a good decision. And so when you check out the reviews and you ask people, you usually get a fair idea. And then it comes down to the next most important point, design. Do I like the look of it? Do I like the feel of it? Is there a connection in the sense? Like, does it look good? Does it feel good? Does it smell good? Whatever the thing tastes good, does it suit me? We look at design, and that's really important. Does it fit good? Is it what would someone expect me to have this? Does it just fit in with who we are and what we're about? That's really, really important. And by now you're starting to realize making good choices, even to buy a TV, a phone, a pram for us in a few weeks' time, a bike, it's hard work. In fact, it's quite exhausting. And then, of course, the most important aspect is price. Can I afford it? Do I want to spend this much? How much am I going to have to save? How much do I have to borrow from somebody else? I need to get the money. And yet, after we've done all of that, here's what sometimes we can say. When we get so overwhelmed, we can go, hey, you just decide. Whatever you think is best. Whatever you think, just go for it. We end up pushing the decision away. We end up pushing the choice away because subconsciously, consciously, in our brains, we're going, I am exhausted. Help, I can't decide. What am I supposed to do? So I push it away and I give my choice to somebody else. And this is actually really dangerous when we realize how powerful our choices are, and the decisions we make today will directly impact our tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And it will affect our choices, and it will affect our lives, and it will affect probably the people around us. And we'll say to ourselves, why did I not make a better decision on that choice? Choices can leave us exhausted. It's no wonder we find it hard to do the right thing sometimes. And so I want to tell you a fun story, or at least I think it's a fun story, of a belt. This is called the story of the belt. Years and years and years ago, I had a good friend, and we were all going as a bunch of guys to watch this band over in London. And so we go to pick up our friend. He's the last one on the list. And we say, look, you got to be up by this time, got to be ready by this time. And of course, we get to his house and he is not ready. No surprise. But what happened next was just crazy. And we're still laughing about it today. He was coming with us, short trip to London, going to see a band for a couple of days. And then from there, we're going home, but he's going to catch another flight and he's going on a missions trip for 2 weeks to somewhere in Asia, like Sri Lanka, India, somewhere like that for 2 weeks. And so we turn up at his house. He's not ready. We give him like 5 minutes and we're hammering the horn, we're hammering the door, and eventually he appears. But there was two things that were very unusual when I saw my friend that morning. It's early morning. It's end of the year sort of time, October, November. So you can imagine it's cold. And there's two really unusual things. Well, yeah, two, at least two. There's probably more. The first one was he was wearing a pair of trousers that didn't fit good and were too short. They were 3/4 length. That was the first thing. The second thing was the only thing he was bringing with him seemed like a plastic bag. And I said, bro, remember, you're not just coming to London. You're going to the far end of the world for 2 weeks. He goes, no worries, it's going to be fine. I'm going to buy what I need there because it's a hot country. I'm like, okay, that sounds fairly reasonable. I said, but hey, hold on a minute. Your trousers. He goes, yeah, it's the only pair of trousers I had dry and the other pair are wet, but they're in the plastic bag. And so it's going to be all good. And then I noticed one more problem. I said, hey, but your trousers, they keep wanting to fall down. And he said, yeah, I don't have a belt, but no worries. I'm going to buy it when we get to London. This guy, he's the most fun, best guy in the whole world. He really does brighten up a trip. So we get to London, go through the airport, get to the hotel, different things. He's busy trying to dry his trousers. And then he says, guys, I'm off to buy a belt. I said, bro, what you want to do is you want to go to one of the cheap stores, like British Home Stores or some of those cheap stores. I don't even think it exists anymore. And just buy a 2-3 quid belt. It'll be fine, and then buy whatever else you want out there. Maybe buy even a couple of t-shirts, a couple of pair of shorts, so you've got some stuff and you're ready to go. He's like, sure, meet you in like 30 minutes. So we meet him in 30 minutes and he comes by and goes, look guys, this is an incredible belt. And he shows us a belt that's like a leather belt that looks incredible, looks amazing. And I said, hold on a minute, where did you buy the belt? He goes, bro, I got an amazing deal. I'm like, oh no, like where are we going with this amazing deal? He goes, I got an amazing deal at one of the street stalls and the guy was lovely. I'm like, bro, trust me, you will not have gotten an amazing deal. You'll have paid too much and I guarantee it's not even leather. He's like, what are you even talking about? So we check it out. We're not even sure if it's leather or not, but he thought it was a great deal. He said, paid £20. And then I said, hey, but have you tried it on? He was like, good point. He tried it on, it didn't even fit. And so he spent the next 2 days trying to punch a hole in this so-called leather belt so he could get his trousers to fit. And 2 days later, whenever he'd been holding his trousers, his 3/4 length trousers up, the whole time he managed to punch a hole in that belt and the trousers stayed up. And also good news, he managed to get the trousers, the wet pair of trousers, the jeans, fairly dry in the clothes press. Talk about a disaster. But here's the point. Choices are important. The choices we make will affect our lives. And so what are we going to do as we go on this journey over this next few weeks of choices? There seems like there's more choices than ever. There's more choices about gender. There's more choices about life than ever. There's more choices about jobs than ever. There's more choices about sexuality than ever. There's more choices about life and your life and my life than ever and the things that we will do and the places where we go. There are more choices than ever. And how on earth will we navigate them in the 21st century in 2022? And I thought of it like this. We're going to navigate these choices every day, possibly three different ways. There could be more. Number one, maybe you're just going to go with the flow. Do you know, I'm not sure how to do life. I'm not sure how to do sexuality. I'm not sure how to do sin. I'm not sure how to do me. So I'm just going to go with the flow. And that seems good, but it's going to be really dangerous because depending on the people that you're around, depending on the influences come into your brain, you are going to make decisions or decisions are going to be forced upon you. So that's number one. Number two, maybe you're one of these people, you know, like the toilet studier, you're on the toilet, but you're busy looking up your phone, like learning loads of stuff, or you're at YouTube University and you'd learn all of your information on YouTube or social media. Like we were in a life group this week and someone put up a post or they said they read a post. And they said it felt like it condemned them as a Christian. It was a Christian post, but it felt like it condemned them as a Christian. And so we talked through the post and we made a valid point. We said, hey, let's take stock for a moment. It wasn't God that wrote that post. It was another person probably trying their best, but it didn't give life. In fact, it brought death in some degree. So forget it. We don't need it. Because the only book that's bringing 100% life all of the time is the Word of God, because it's the Word of God. And so we have to be aware, what are the things that are coming into us? So maybe you're going with the flow, number one, or number two, you're just deciding, I'm gonna study on my phone, I'm gonna research on my phone. You know, when you look up and you're like, I haven't got to the doctor yet, but I'm gonna just use Dr. Google. And more often than not, we've given ourselves the worst disease, we're near death, and we're not gonna make it. And we get to the doctor, he goes, it's just a cold. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. Or YouTube University. How do you know all about this stuff? I watch YouTube. Or I watched the documentary, and you're like, no. That was like, these things are always biased. They're not run through stringent tests. They're just another person's opinion. Is that really the wise move? Or number three, that we would get godly advice, that we would seek godly wisdom, that we get into the Word of God, that we would have godly people around us, and we would do our due diligence to make good and wise decisions. From the big stuff to the wee stuff, because we would say, hey, I realize my decisions matter. How many times you got in trouble by buying something you didn't need that was too expensive from what you could afford, and now you're trying to pay this debt off for the next number of months? I had a friend who had £30,000 in debt on their credit card, and they were trying to get another one to pay the interest rate, and before you know it, their debt was up to $40,000, and they were living like there was no tomorrow. And I said, hey, did you ever think about changing your ideas and changing your plans? Thank the Lord they have got rid of that debt. But $30,000 to $40,000 on credit cards. Why? They made bad choices. Probably over good things, but they made bad choices at the wrong time. Thankfully, they started to instigate some good choices that brought the debt down. Here's what John Maxwell said. He's a Christian business leader. He brings a lot of wisdom. He says this, life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. Wow. Every choice, it's either building you up or taking you down. Every choice that you make. And so the question is, what do I do with such power? Because there really is so much power in this. How do I make the right choices? How do we say no to the wrong ones? How do we recover if we've made bad choices? Can somebody else do it for me? And I say yes, but you've got to give them that choice, and then you've got to be happy with the choice they make, which is sometimes another problem. So today, as we go into this series of wise choices and making good choices, we've got to lay and establish a firm foundation. But there's two things we've got to think about as we think about foundations today. Number one, there are some of us that have started with an unfair advantage. This is so true. Some of us have started with maybe a great family. Maybe a great family is two parents. Maybe a great family is just one parent, but they love you. And that's an advantage for somebody else over a family that's not functioning the way it should. Maybe you've had an advantage in terms of just your background, the location that you live, the money that you've got in the account, the wisdom of the people around you. And so for some, they've got an unfair advantage. And yet then for other people, it's the unfairness of their location or the unfairness of their life that's caused them to push ahead. And they've got this determination, and they've got this focus, and it's incredible. But we are at different places, and we've got to recognize that. There's no point saying, well, look at me. Well, why look at you? Maybe you got an easy start. Maybe you just had a situation, or maybe you just had a certain personality where you're able to go because of the environment that you find yourself in. But here's what the Word of God says, 1 John 4:15. It mentions about foundations, but it talks about love. And it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, which is the most important choice you can make, God abides in him. He comes and he lives in us. That's what that word means. And he is God. Verse 16. So he who has come to know and to believe the love that God has for us, if you come to know and love that, then God is love. God is the very essence of love. In fact, love is God. It's interchangeable, but he is true love. And whoever abides, whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God lives in him or her. This is what God said. I want you to lay a foundation, but if you're going to lay a foundation of love, because surely love is the greatest thing. God is love. And when we think about God's love, then we got to think about some things. In every motive, in every action, in every thought, he is pure love. Wow. Every action, every motive, every thought, pure love. This is God. And this is why we must know God's love. If we're to have a good foundation, why would we build that foundation with anything else? Because God is love. And can I say this? This is not any old, ordinary love. You're maybe hearing that word, four-letter word, L-O-V-E. Oh yeah, love in the movies, love from a friend. I'm telling you this. every other love is not God's love, because every one of their motives cannot be for you. Every one of their actions cannot be for you. Every one of their thoughts cannot be for you. No one can live without weight. You see, every other love, can we just say it, has manipulation involved, has agenda involved, has pride involved, has selfishness involved, has deceit involved, has me involved, etc., etc. This is not pure love. So every other love has fractures. Every other love has cracks and crevices. Every other love has weaknesses, but God's love is perfection. It is absolutely incredible. And this is why you need to know God's love. You got to know it. What? Because he comes and he turns his love on towards you. In fact, he never turns his love off. In fact, the Bible says that he fully accepts you. He fully accepts you in every which way you are. He fully accepts you. And then he's got a plan, because he's always got a plan, because he loves you. And he wants to help you to walk into more truth and walk into more love and to walk into more life and to step into the fullness that he has for you. And I want to say this, what a foundation. What a foundation. And if the foundation is so important to make good decisions, then this is the good foundation that you need. One that's rooted in God. Because if God is love, then I want this God love for my foundation, because I want to make good decisions from a place of love. But here's the big question as we drill a bit deeper today. Why do I need a good foundation? This is what you could be saying. You could be just thinking to yourself at home going, yeah, look, I appreciate what you're saying and I get what you're saying. It all sounds a bit idealistic. It all sounds a bit OTT. At the end of the day, if I get the results, will it not be okay? And can I say this? Absolutely. But what happens when you don't get the result? What happens when the ends just don't justify the means? What happens when you've managed to make it through all these times and now you can't? What do you do then? Then your foundation must be important. In fact, can I say this? If you're going to do something strategic, you're going to do something important, you have to have a great foundation. It will always be found out. At some point, at some stage, it will always be found out. And so here's what it says in Matthew 7:24. Talks about building on a firm foundation. It says this, Jesus spoke, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams arose, and it blew winds to and fro, and it beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rocks. But verse 26, but when everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the wind came and the streams arose and the winds blew and they beat against that house and it fell down with a great crash. And this can be like our lives. This is what Jesus was speaking about. It wasn't necessarily about a house, although it could be a house, because a house is a great metaphor, because you could build a beautiful home, but if you've got weak or unstable foundations, then that beautiful home will come down, because storms are inevitable. But he's using that as a metaphor for life. He's saying fundamentally, build your house on me, build your life on me. And then when storms come, you will get through. This is why when people tell you things like, if you come to faith, your life is going to get better and all's going to be okay. In a sense, yes. But they could be leading you down a garden path where you say to yourself, yeah, but I thought it was going to get better. And sometimes it gets a whole lot harder before it gets better. And sometimes you're just hanging on with your fingernails, but you put your trust in God because you know that he is with you and you know that he will bring you through. And I want to say this about this story, because you may have heard it lots of times or you may have heard it for the first time. But I believe that the most important principle about this whole thing, apart from building your house on the rock, is that storms are coming. Storms are coming. Weather is breaking. Weather is coming. And what are you going to do? And how is your life going to be when the weather breaks, when the storm comes? What will happen next? The last few years, we've been to Port Rush. If you don't know Port Rush, it's like the place that people go to in Northern Ireland. When the weather gets a tiny bit good, you go to Port Rush, you get on the beach, you get an ice cream. We don't even care it's cold. As long as it's dry, we're going in the sea. It's just like a given. You're going in the sea. And if you're not hard enough, you got to wear a wetsuit. You know what I'm saying? But for anybody that's just ready to go, you get the shorts on and you just run for the water and you'll be okay. The water might be like minus 20. I'm joking. The water will be cold. But you don't even care, because the sun is broken. This is Northern Ireland and you can do this thing. And so we get ourselves to Port Rush. But seriously, we get to the beach and you're going to notice two really important things. And well, maybe one really important thing, but two distinct differences. Those that are on the beach and they haven't got this item, and then those that are on the beach that have this item. And the most important item for the beach in our country at any time, at any day, apart from an umbrella, would be a windbreaker. A windbreaker. And some people come with like one of those windbreakers, you put it in the sand and it breaks the wind coming. Other people come, they're fully wise, they come with a tent. But the wise beach goer knows, if you're gonna have a great day on the beach here, you gotta bring a windbreak. Because no matter how nice the weather, no matter how warm, in the last 2 years it has been really good, the wind is still likely to blow. And sand plus wind, it doesn't end well, and so you want to make sure to protect yourself. So imagine the scene. You get to the beach, you got the bucket and spade, you got the sun cream, you got the towels, you got everything you need, and you're just lying there, and everything is perfect, and it's a beautiful day, and then suddenly, because life always comes with suddenlies, and then suddenly the wind begins to blow, and now you're like the sandman. Because the sand is sticking all over you. The sand is invading all of your space. The sand is all over you. And you're like, oh my gosh, we're going home. Or you're wrapping yourself in the towel. Or you're running into the sea. Because the wind is never too far away. And I want to say today for our lives, and when we're going through, why is the foundation really important? Because we know challenges are coming. We know battles are coming. And if your foundation is not set, no matter what you've done before, no matter what's going on up here, the foundations will be the thing that causes everything to creak. The truth is, the weather is coming. The weather is always as a consequence of our choices. Can I just say that? And you're saying to me, but like, how did I control the weather? How did I control this? How did I control that? But we got to go all the way back to Genesis to know that God created a perfect heaven and a perfect earth. And he gave man all the facilities and all the ability to make the right choices. And the first big choice that we had messed it up forever, because then sin came. And neither we do have to work hard for our labors, and neither is stress in life, and neither is strain in life, and neither is issues and problems because of big, bad choices that we made that we're still living in the knock-on effects. And it's the same for us. You say to yourself, look, I just go with the flow. It does not really matter. I get there in the end. But I'm telling you, someone is feeling the consequences of your bad choices. And on the flip side, on the other side, if you make good choices, everybody feels the ripple effects of your good choices. You see, if you lack foundations, it will cause you to fight battles you never should have. This is the truth. If you lack good foundations in the early stages, you will fight battles in life that you should have never faced. But you have to now because of lack of preparation and lack of good choices in the early days. Or you'll find yourself exhausted because you're trying to fight every battle that comes. And we're not designed to fight every battle. In fact, the word tells us over and over again that God fights our battles. Give him your best. Put your trust in him. I mean, lay down good foundations and God will fight for you. But if you haven't got good foundations, you'll be afraid of every gust of wind. This is the truth of life. And for so many of us, we're going around and we've made decisions, or we've let other people make decisions, or we've made the decisions which led to no more decisions that can be made because of the choice that we took. And we find ourselves in positions now where we said it didn't really matter, but now life has caught up with us, and now any form of wind, any form of uncertainty, any form of stress, and we just can't cope. And guys, today I want to talk about how can we make better choices, and how can we make better choices over these next few weeks, and how can we learn from the Word of God so that we can make better choices that can save us in the long term, where we will be able to face the trials and we'll be able to overcome, and we'll look at somebody else and we'll go, okay, I used to be like that, but not any longer, so now I can go and help that person instead of being no better than that person. So what can we do? When it comes to our lives and when it comes to choices, then we can choose to build a firm foundation. And I want to leave us with this as we finish today. We can make a choice initially to follow Jesus. And I want to encourage you, that's a really important one. Make the choice to follow Jesus every day. Make the choice to have an identity based on what God says, not what anybody else says. Because again, your choices will have a knock-on effect in your life and it will lead to consequences that maybe you can't cope with. Build a firm foundation so that I can make good choices in the future. Make a choice to build your life on His Word. If we know the Word of God is going to help us to build a good foundation, which is going to give us freedom to make great choices. Make a choice to forgive, make a choice to grow, make a choice to keep your love on in every circumstance. This will directly impact your life. Here's what it says in Proverbs 16, verse 1. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives us the right answers. Wow. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives us the right answer. Verse 2, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines your motives. Wow. And verse 3, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Over this next few weeks, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at choices. We're going to say to ourselves, how can I move from poor choices to better choices? How can I move from just making silly choices to making godly choices? How can I make a sea change in my life from living this way or that way or through this person's eyes to living through God? And what does he say? And so here's our choice today, if we're willing to go on this journey. Will we do what verse 3 says? Commit your actions to God. Will we commit our actions to God? This is what we have to decide today. Or maybe for you, it's going to be tomorrow or the next day. But at some point, we've got to decide, will I commit my life to God? And will I commit my actions to God? And if I do, I will see a great foundation. I will see a great foundation for a great base for my decisions to be made. And I'll be able to go, and day by day, as I face the challenges, as I face this, as I face that, I will walk through them as tough as they can be. And I won't be afraid of every gust, because I will have my house built on the rock and built on a firm foundation. So our challenge today, as we pray, will we commit our ways to God? I know this is difficult. I know this is so contrary to everything else and everyone else says, because they're like, live your own life, do your own things. But I just ask you to look along the timeline and see how people are doing. And more often than not, if not every time, how does it end? It doesn't end well. God has good things in place. God has good words in place. God has foundations in place in the Word of God that if we allow them to be built into our lives, it will save us a whole lot of pain and it will cause us to walk forward in the things that God has for us. So I want us to pray today, and I want to pray for that first decision, which is, have you put your trust in Jesus? And if you have, then incredible. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. But if you haven't, then we're going to believe for this. And the Bible says this, if you put your trust in Jesus, if you would put your trust in Jesus, your life would be forever changed. So come on, we're going to pray tonight. Lord, I pray for those that just need to put their trust in you. I pray for those that have just said, hey, I need a change. I'm not happy with the way my life is. I just know it's not in the right place. I pray today that you would challenge us and encourage us and we would see change in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that if we're in that position, we would right now put our trust in Jesus and our lives would never be the same. So I encourage you, go for it. Lord, I put my trust in you. It's a simple prayer that will have eternal effect on your life and those around you. And I pray today, Lord, for those that know you and maybe are struggling to make good decisions or they're trying to figure life out and trying to go here, there, and everywhere. Well, then, Holy Spirit, would you come and invade our hearts, invade our lives, because we want to make the right decisions for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, today, come and affect their lives. Come and transform us. And we pray what they said in Proverbs 16:3, I want to commit my ways to God, and then my plans will succeed. Lord, I pray for every heart, every life, and I ask you today you would speak mightily into us and never allow our lives to be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.